Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. From a very young age, Rosemary Ellen Guiley has had run-ins with the paranormal. Learning of the psychic connection her family had to the other side, Rosemary's lifelong interest in something else was sparked. She would go on to write more than 50 books on a wide range of paranormal, spiritual, and mystical topics, oftentimes connecting the worlds of ghosts, Bigfoots, and UFOs into the same realm. Rosemary is an active researcher on many topics involving the paranormal. Today, we discuss areas such as the Angela Webb property, hauntings in Greene County, Pennsylvania, dreams and their connections with the dead, and much more.
Tony, this has been a lifelong path for me. Ever since I was a kid, I've been fascinated by the unseen, by UFOs, by the paranormal, the supernatural. And, I think a lot of kids are, and a lot of kids have experiences. But for me, my interests really stuck. And part of that had to do with the fact that I grew up in a family with some psychic experiences in the mix there, my family members. And I just found these topics riveting. I was interested in astronomy when I was young, and that kind of puts your mind out there in terms of contemplating big cosmic perspectives and pictures. And so eventually, as time went on, and I got into my writing career, it turned out that I could turn my personal interest into my professional pursuit. And this was after some years of working as a journalist and an editor in various capacities. I wanted to be an author, and I originally intended to write fiction, but I knew a lot of editors in the publishing field, and I was asked to write nonfiction on some of these topics because there was such an interest in them. And so I launched into a nonfiction career and never really went back to fiction. I've still done a little fiction on the side every now and then, but I have close to 70 books to my credit now. And it's a never-ending search. I love what I do. I've been working full-time in the field now since 1983. And it spans quite a range of activities because I think they're all interconnected. Mm-hmm. I'm very involved in the paranormal investigation, mysterious creatures, paranormal phenomena, psychic sorts of experiences. But I'm also involved in ufology. That's an important component, and certainly major cryptid research like Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also very involved in metaphysical topics like afterlife studies, near-death experiences, contact with alien beings, and not just extraterrestrials, but alien beings of all kinds. My emphasis has always been on how we have our experiences and how we're transformed by them, for better or worse. Are they negative or positive experiences? And I've never really felt a need to prove these things. My work isn't about collecting evidence, trying to prove to a doubting or skeptical audience that such things exist. Rather, my audience has had experiences, and they're looking for more information to put them into a meaningful context so that they can benefit from them. That's really the thrust of my work.
Sure. And I completely understand. That's how our programs are. We're never here to prove that this exists or doesn't exist. Our audience, they're already there. They know it's there. They're looking for some answers or some exactly an understanding of where this all fits into their life. You had mentioned earlier some psychic experiences in your family as a child. Can you touch on that a little bit for us? What were some of those first experiences that made you go as a child and say, this seems a little different than what Jimmy down the road has going on in his family?
Well, you know, when you're a little kid and you have experiences, you sort of assume that everybody has those experiences. Sure. And as I got older, then I realized that not everybody does. And not only is that the case, but the outside world is very judgmental about these things, with many people not believing in them whatsoever. And as I got older, even into my teens, that certainly puzzled me. Well, as a kid, I was not a psychic wonder kind by any means. I really didn't see or encounter much in the way of the dead until I was much older, into adulthood. But kids often have invisible playmates. I certainly had those. I believe a lot of those belong to the fairy realm. I had a lot of experiences with angels, and I believed angels to be around me at all times. Now, one of the important influences in my life had to do with precognitive dreaming. And they weren't my dreams per se, but they were my mother's dreams. My mom had a lot of psychic experiences of all kinds, and she had precognitive dreams that came true in some way. And as is the case with a lot of precognitive dreamers, many of these dreams involved bad things happening to people, for example, accidents or people dying. And so, of course, they were very distressing to my mom. And it wasn't the case where she dreamed that person A was going to die at a certain time in a certain way on a certain date. There were always elements that were incomplete in the dreams. And so sometimes she knew something was going to happen, but depending upon the dream, it was unclear exactly when or specifically to whom or perhaps a date. Usually something would happen within a two-week time period. While I was in my adolescent years when my mom shared these dreams with me, and I was absolutely riveted by the idea that dreams could predict the future in any kind of accurate way. And it launched me on a lifelong study of dreams. And dreams remain very important to me even today. By the time I was in high school, I was experimenting a lot with my dreams to try and see the future, to send and receive messages with people, to travel out of body in dreams and visit distant locations and be able to describe those locations in an accurate way. And I had enough success with that to convince me that dreams were absolutely an amazing medium of consciousness. And as I mentioned, it launched me on a lifelong study of dreams. Mm-hmm. I believe that dreams are an important bridge world to the astral realm, and that they can open many doorways to us for extraordinary experiences of all kinds that might be more limited or even not even possible in waking consciousness. So our dreaming side is very important to our spiritual exploration, our overall well-being, and our capability of experiencing other realities and states of consciousness. Primarily, our dreams are really about us and about how we think we're doing in the world, which is important enough. Sure. But there are these other aspects of dreams as well that take us into more uncharted territories of consciousness. So those were some of the early experiences that shaped a lot of my emerging outlook on alternate realities. By the time I was 15, I was convinced of reincarnation. It was the only explanation that made sense to me for anything, even though I was raised a Methodist, very, not super conservative, but pretty traditional. And I still believe in reincarnation. I was a very active amateur astronomer for many years, and as I mentioned earlier, that kind of puts your mind out there in terms of contemplating big picture questions. Early on in my personal exploration, it was obvious to me that everything was interconnected. No matter where you started, whether it was with a Bigfoot sighting or a UFO or a ghost, sooner or later, the dots would be connected to everything else. And that also has been an orientation that has driven my own research and work. I'm pleased to see more researchers now abandoning their tunnel vision and embracing that outlook as well.
Mm-hmm. With things being more connected. Let's talk about dreams just for a moment, because that's something that we hear about quite often. And people assuming sometimes, and sometimes with great evidence that comes beyond just the dream, of a connection, of oftentimes a visit from a deceased loved one coming to them, either to deliver a compelling message of some sort, of sometimes information that there's no way they would have known otherwise. Sometimes it's almost like a sighting. They're just in their dream and, oh my God, so there's Dad sitting over in his chair, but there's no message given. It seems very benign, but very comforting sometimes after someone has passed. With dreams and with individuals having those experiences, is it always a connection, whereas is if that person who is deceased is coming back to give a message? Is it ever them coming back to give a message? Or is it sometimes just kind of our coping mechanisms working within us to try and get through a loss or a tragedy? What's your thoughts on that through your research?
Well, in terms of the scope of all of those things, they're all certainly possible, and they get mixed together in very complex dynamics. However, we can't dismiss dream visits from the dead as just simply wish fulfillment as part of the grieving process. They are much more than that. And over the course of my research into dreams, I started encountering a lot of testimonies from people about their dream visits from the dead and how convinced they were that they had actual visits, that these were not imaginary sorts of things. I should say fantasy sort of things, because imagination is the underlying ability in human beings that enables us to have these experiences. And that led over time to a book called Dream Visits, Dream Messages from the Afterlife, Visits from the Dead. And I do believe that the dead come back. They are purpose-driven, because these visits are very short. The dead have sometimes explained that the dynamics of enabling this bridge between the afterlife and the world of the living to form at all is very complex and tenuous and doesn't last very long. And so they're not aimless visits like a hi, how are ya? Even if there's no specific message conveyed, the mere presence is a message in and of itself. And this is also a very uneven playing field. Dream visits from the dead are not democratic by any means, and not everybody who wants one is going to get one. And that can create a lot of distress in people if they're desperate for some sort of reconnection with someone who's passed on. They begin to think that there's something wrong with them, something bad has happened to the person on the other side, they've become undeserving of a dream visit, they're being punished in some way, and that's simply not the case. It has to do with mechanisms of consciousness and energy and vibrations, of which we have very little, if any, understanding. Nonetheless, I think there are things we can do to fertilize our consciousness to make these sorts of experiences more inviting, or perhaps even more likely to happen. So dream visits do have specific purposes and quite often urgent messages. They're very short, to the point. Sometimes they need interpretation, just like a regular dream. And they can have an extremely powerful impact upon the living.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars. It will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.